Open your Bibles to the 103rd Psalm. And as we prepare for this message today, I wanted to mention a couple of things to you. First of all, the outlines are available on kcm.org/live. All of the outlines from the daytime services are on that site, kcm.org/live. And just click on the downloads and you'll receive Pastor Greg's, Pastor Terry's, buddies, myself, and mine is on there right now. So if you want to go to that, you can get those notes, because there are a couple of things that I'm going to be reading to you today that I really want you to be able to take and to study and to get those. And then also, I wanted to give a little church announcement here before I get started on preaching. Last Sunday, the last couple of Sundays, we've had some very unusual and wonderful times in service, especially where healing is concerned. And last Sunday, I'll tell you exactly where I was, and I could tell you about the time that it happened. It was almost towards the end. We had people that came forward for sickness or disease of long continuance. You know, that's under the curse in Deuteronomy 28, and we're redeemed from that. We are redeemed from long-standing sicknesses and diseases, strongholds in our lives. So I was laying hands on people for that, and it was right about over here when the Lord spoke to me a distinct word last Sunday and said, I want you to lay hands on all of the children this Sunday. All the children in the church. So what the Lord has had me to do, and it really just came all over me this week as I've been preparing the message for it, I'm going to be teaching a message on Sunday about invoking the blessing on your children. It's powerful. It's a powerful thing to invoke the blessing. And really, the Jews do it. They do it every Friday night, invoke the blessing upon their children. And so I prepared the message for that. And then at the end of the service, towards the end of the service, we've arranged for all of the children to come into the room. And what we're going to do is right down here, we're going to have like we've done before. It's a tunnel. And all of my pastors will form a tunnel, and the children will go through this tunnel. And all the pastoral staff will lay hands on these children, and we'll impart the blessing into them. There's going to be healing. There's going to be deliverance. There's going to be clarity of calling on their lives to set them on the course that God has for them. And this has been so strong on me all week long since the Lord said it to me. And I just appreciate that in Him, because He's really leading us one service at a time for this outpouring that we're in. And so I wanted to let you know, and those of you that are watching, maybe you're watching us within a driving distance of here, bring your children. All of you who have grandchildren. Now, maybe your grandchildren are in a situation where they don't go to church right now. Maybe your children don't take them to church. Well, call their parents and say, can I bring them to church this Sunday? And if you bring them to church, then they will be in this tunnel of love, we call it. And I'll be the last one. I will end up over on this side. I'll be the last one over here to give the final blessing on them. And as they come through, and we're going to do this for all of the children, babies, toddlers, the junior super kids, and we will end up with the 1440 students that are in church. And just impart that blessing to them. I really do believe that the Lord wants to show up on Sunday, because He loves children and He wants us to do this. So I want you to do that. And again, if you have grandchildren, bring them to church. And then also, and we'll have more instruction on this Sunday, but for those of you who do have babies, what I want to do is allow you, actually babies through 2 years old, allow you to come through that line with them. Bring them through that line. And so we'll lay the hands on you as well. So this is going to be quite a Sunday. We've never done anything quite like this before. And so I wanted to let you know so that we get word out. We've gotten word out on social media about it, letting people know about this. The anointing is growing in our church. It's getting bigger and it's getting thicker. The glory is getting thicker and thicker and thicker. And so let's come before the Lord right now as we receive this message today. Father, I pray over each one here. And I thank You that as we've declared this Wealth Day, we are opening our hearts to receive a capacity to see this wealth like we've never seen before. Wealth is not a dirty word. It is a Bible word. Rich is not a dirty word. It is a Bible word. And Father, you are getting us into a place that we're going beyond the million flow. We're stepping into the billion flow. And Father, we honor you and thank you today for what we have learned, what has been imparted to us. And now, Lord, we press into this. We press into supernatural wealth transfer and what that means to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Psalm 103, and let's start in verse 1. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." Verse 2 in the Amplified Translation says, "Forget not one of all of his benefits." I like what the Message Translation says. It says, "Don't forget a single blessing." A single blessing. There was a word from the Lord through Brother Copeland in October of 2010. And he said this, "For all of you who will take my word and stand on it, saith the Lord, the kingdom is for you, the angels are for you, and all of heaven's reserves are at your call." All of heaven's reserves. Think about it. Everything that heaven has for us, all of the reserves of heaven are available to us right now. They belong to us. So what the Lord told me was he wants us to take advantage of every benefit, every blessing, because it's ours. It belongs to us in Christ. And to take advantage of every provisional benefit that he has for us, including what we call supernatural wealth transfer. Say supernatural wealth transfer. I believe that we are going to experience some things in the next 60 minutes that we have here together. And if you allow the Spirit of God to open up your thinking, open up your heart, and receive this benefit from him. You know, there's so much going on here at the ministry. So much that is taking place. So many things that being 30 and 40 years here that need to be repaired, need to be fixed, need to be torn down, need to be built. There's a lot of things going on here. And we're pressing into the overflow with all of our hearts. We're releasing our faith in that overflow. Not just the things that need to be done on campus here, but the things that need to be done all over the world and getting the Word of God out there, like Brother Copeland, the word that Brother Copeland received in 1976. Preach this uncompromised word of faith from the top of the world to the bottom, all the way around the middle, on every available voice. Well, it takes finances to do that. And we're stretching, we're reaching out. We're on Dish TV right now. We are stretching our faith for DirecTV. DirecTV has double the coverage of what Dish has. And so we are reaching out with all of our hearts to press in to every provisional benefit that the Lord has for us, which includes supernatural wealth transfer. Say, I receive it.
I receive it.
I believe it.
I believe it.
You know, it's just not for the preachers. It's not just for those in a ministry like this. It's for every individual. Buddy was talking about that. Every individual can experience this. And I want you to open up your hearts and your faith to receive it, to take it, to believe it, to take hold of it. Not just for our lives personally, but for our families, for our children, for the generation coming up before us. The Lord wants believers to walk in a place of prosperity like we've never walked before. There are a lot of critics out there about what we do and what we say and what we believe. And they get all worked up about the prosperity gospel, they call it. This prosperity gospel. Well, this prosperity gospel is what Jesus preached. He talked about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Why? So the poor don't have to be poor anymore. And I have a theory about all of our critics who criticize us about prosperity. And that's this. I believe that all of those critics that are out there, I believe they have homes, they have cars, they have clothes, they have enough. Some of them have a lot. And you ask any person, any destitute, poor person out there who is buried under a mountain of financial debt and pressure, and they're calling that money in, the bill collectors are all over them. You go up to a person like that and you give them a choice. Do you want to stay where you are? Or do you want to get into the place where you're no longer living from paycheck to paycheck, but you are able to take care of your children and you're able to pay for the bills and you're able to live in a debt-free home? You can choose to stay where you are, or you can move on to this. And I would say any destitute person would say, help me, get me out of this. And that's what this is all about. The end game, if you will, of prosperity is to be able to, as Brother Copeland has said, the definition of prosperity is to be able to use the ability of God to meet the needs of mankind in any realm of life, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially. That's what prosperity is all about. That is, if you look at the book, The Laws of Prosperity, that is the definition that he gives for prosperity. Godly prosperity is the ability to use the power of God to meet the needs of mankind in every realm of life. And they don't see the kind of giving that goes on here. They don't see the kind of sowing that comes out of this place. So the Lord is wanting to raise us up, each one of us. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And faith for supernatural transfer, supernatural wealth transfer, comes by hearing, and hearing the word about supernatural wealth transfer. Say, I receive that.
I take that.
In the name of Jesus. What is a transfer? What does that word transfer mean? Basically, to define it, it means to move something from one person, place, or thing to another. To relocate, for things to be relocated from, as it says, one person, one place, or one thing to another. When we were building this executive building over here, we had a truck show up with drywall, a huge truck with drywall. We did not order that truckload. The guy came, he said, all I have is orders to deliver it here. And we said, well, just back your truck up and leave it right there. That was supernatural wealth transfer. Had no idea where it came from. And the Lord wants us to walk in that. It is a provisional benefit that belongs to us. To transfer is to move something, shift something, relocate it from one individual to another, from one entity to another, from one place to another. I fully expect for a Citation 10 plus to land out here and somebody to get off that plane and say, take this off my hands. Take this thing off my hands. Why? Because we need to expand the fleet. We're going in all kinds of directions in the same time. We got to get that word out there. But see, we have to open up our thinking towards that. We have to break through. There has been a limited mentality about how we see ourselves and how we see ourselves with wealth. We look at Jeff Bezos and we look at the Gates and we look at people like that and think to ourselves, we could never aspire to something like that. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm looking over here at a couple. There's a million-dollar voice sitting over here. That was a powerful word. Powerful word. And I believe that dwelling on the inside of us, there's enough faith in this room to move and shift things to where they should rightfully be. Turn to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. Buddy talked about this, but I want to go ahead and get in a little more in-depth about it. Proverbs 13 and verse 22. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, And the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Look how those two verses go together. Talking about leaving an inheritance to our children's children. It's my desire to leave an inheritance to my children's children. I hunger for that. I long for that. I desire for that. That's the heart of God right here. A good man, a righteous man, leaves an inheritance to his children's children. So we're in this scripture, we're really thinking generationally. We're thinking past our own decade, if you will. And we're thinking into the future. What does the future look like? What does the future look like for our children, for your grandchildren, for your great-grandchildren? And I know that some of you are looking at me like grandchildren. We're just married. We just got married. Well, there will be a time. Take it from me. There'll be a time. And I've always aspired to be a grandfather because I had a good grandfather. My mother's father was a tremendous grandfather. Now, I didn't know my father's father. He passed away when I was very young. But I'll tell you, from my father's father, there's a heritage that we have there. My father's father was a car designer in the 20s, the 30s, and the 40s. He was also a developer and an inventor. And I have on my phone right now a picture of an invention, a patent, that my grandfather, my father's dad, had. And I tap into that. You talk about wealth creation, buddy. My grandfather designed the first car with a slanted windshield. My grandfather, and I don't know how they do this now because I have not been on a bus in a long time. But when I was going on a school bus, the driver would sit over here, and in order to open the door, he would reach over and pull a handle, and it would open the door. My grandfather invented that. So I take that anointing. But my other grandfather, my mother's father, I spent a lot of time with him. And I so loved him and I enjoyed him. And even as a little kid, I aspired to be a grandfather. When Terry and I got married, I thought, I can't wait to be a grandfather. I really thought that. I really did. And now, I'm there. And I believe I'll live long enough because I'm living to 120. If Jesus doesn't come back soon, I'm living to 120. And I'll see my grandchildren grow up, have their kids, go to their weddings. It's exciting. So I want to be a blessing to my children's children. I want them to love Poppy. And to enjoy Poppy. And to enjoy Poppy's wealth. I am a wealthy man. You are wealthy people. You are. You are rich. I do not care at this moment what our critics think about us. I am standing before a group of wealthy believers in this place. I'm standing before people who are entrepreneurs. For in the night seasons, the Lord will speak to you and talk to you and give you visions of things. You'll wake up with inventions. I believe that. I call for that. I say the same thing for all of those that are watching us right now on every outlet of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, that you are wealthy people. Say this after me. I am wealthy, and I know what to do with my wealth. So a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Now, let me take you through a couple of scriptures here about wealth in this earth. First of all, let me make a statement to you. All of the wealth of the world belongs to God. Now, I'll get to something in just a moment, but he gave it to Adam. But all of the wealth in the world belongs to God. Write this scripture down, Psalm 24:1. Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. I was just thinking about that scripture, is reading it here. And they that dwell therein, give us the nations as an inheritance. The people to come into the kingdom of God. Well, the Lord, the earth is the Lord and the fullness of it thereof. And then write down Psalm 50, verse 10. It says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof." So the Lord really is an owner of the wealth of the world. He gave that wealth to Adam. He gave it to him. And then what Adam did was he gave that wealth back to the world, to Satan, through his disobedience. It went back to him. And we know that Satan had it because Brother Copeland was talking about the other night, I believe it was Brother Copeland that was speaking about this, just talking about when Jesus came out of that time of fasting and Satan came to him and started offering him this, that, and the other. He had it to give. He had it to give. It was his. But Jesus came and took back the wealth of the world and gave it to us. He gave it to us. It belongs to us. It is ours. The money and the wealth that the world has belongs to us for kingdom purposes. It belongs to us. The money and the wealth of the unrighteous has been laid up for us because why? We will use it for God's heavenly purposes. He wants to get his word out there. He wants to be able to get it from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around. And he wants his church to prosper, and he wants his people to prosper. He wants us to walk in a place of divine wealth and divine health. It is. It is the plan of God. Let me read this to you. It is God's will in this end time abundant harvest to prosper his people above all others upon the earth through supernatural wealth transfer. Let me read it again. It is God's will in this end time abundant harvest to prosper his people above all others upon the earth through supernatural wealth transfer. It is the will of God for you to prosper in every way, for your businesses to prosper, for your households to prosper, for everything that you set your hand to do to prosper. Now let's take a look at some scriptures concerning that first. Turn to the book of Job and look at verse 27. Turn to the book of Job, chapter 27. Job 27, verse 16. Job 27. We'll go through some of these scriptures together because I want the word to talk to you about this. I want the word. There has been such a limitation on our thinking about what we have access to. We have access to everything that the Spirit of God desires for us to have in the kingdom of heaven. He wants to prosper us. It is his desire to prosper us. He wants every bill to be paid. He wants every debt to be removed in our lives. He wants us to be separated from the world system of borrowing. He wants us to be the lender and not the borrower, to be able to live in a home debt-free. That's something that Pastor Terry and I pursued in our lives. And now for some years, we've been living in our home debt-free. Like pastor, like pew. What happens to me, it happens to you. So we are debt-free. Pastor Terry and I are debt-free. Debt-free. And we are living what is called life after debt. And life after debt is a beautiful thing. It's to be not just debt-free, but it's to be press on into a place of wealth that we've never been before. Why? Why would he do that for us? Because he can trust us. We know what to do with it. We know what to do with it. Around here, we are pressing into the billion flow. Amen. The billion flow. Why? Because there's a lot to do. There's a lot to get done. There's a lot of word that needs to get out there. In Job 27, let me start in verse 13 in Job 27. It says, "This is the portion of a wicked man with God, and the heritage of oppressors, which they shall receive of the Almighty." Now that is, we're talking here about the wicked people and the oppressors, and this is the portion. This is what belongs to them. Listen to this in verse 14. And it's talking about the curse. They're walking in the curse. "If his children be multiplied, it is for the sword, and his offering shall not be satisfied with bread. Those that remain of him shall be buried in death, and his widow shall not weep. Though he heap up silver as the dust and prepare raiment as the clay, he may prepare it, but the just shall put it on, and the innocent shall divide the silver. This is supernatural wealth transfer. It says in the NIV translation of verse 16 and 17, though he heaps up silver like dust and clothes, like piles of clay. Let me read that again. Though he heaps up silver like dust and clothes like piles of clay, what he lays up, the righteous will wear, and the innocent will divide his silver. Say, wealth transfer.
Wealth transfer.
Supernatural wealth transfer. I receive that. There's a lot of stuff out there that has been created for the kingdom of God. There's a lot of things out there. And this is part of what our heritage is and what belongs to us. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just, laid up for the righteous. And there are businesses out there that are creating wealth for the kingdom of God, and they do not know it. They do not realize it. In the New Living Translation, it says, evil people have piles of money and may store away mounds of clothing, but the righteous will wear that clothing and the innocent will divide that money. It's coming to us. It's coming to us. It's a transfer. There's a transfer that's coming into our accounts. It says in verse 19, the New Living, the wicked go to bed rich, but wake up to find that all their wealth is gone. Where did it go? Oh, you got to be stronger about that. Come on, we've been learning some things about walking in the blessing. We've been redeemed from the curse of poverty and lack. And it does not matter. It does not matter if you've called yourself retired and you're saying that you're living on a limited income. You stop saying that right now. And you start receiving the wealth transfer coming into your life. And believe that. Receive it. Take it. I've got a quote here from Gloria Copeland from one of her teachings that she did. She said this, think about the sinners working for us. Let them heap up money and transfer it to us. She was talking in this message, she was talking about wealth transfer, supernatural wealth transfer. And they're working on our behalf. They're working for us. And I have an expectation that we're going to see it more and more and more, because the thing that you start focusing on and the thing that you release your faith towards, you begin to build that and you'll see it more and more and more and more. In Ecclesiastes, let me read this one to you. Ecclesiastes 2:26 in the New Living Translation. If a sinner becomes wealthy, God takes the wealth away and gives it to those who please him. Now, you can't get much more simple than that. How many of you desire to please God? I do. It is my heart. It is my desire to please him, for my life to please him, for everything that I do to please him. And it's a promise here that if a sinner becomes wealthy, God will take that wealth or transfer that wealth from that account into our account. That's what it says. It says in Proverbs 28:8. Write that one down. Proverbs 28:8. In the New Living, it says, income from charging high interest rates will end up in the pocket of someone who is kind to the poor. Interest. Interest from charging high interest rates will end up in the pocket of someone who is kind to the poor. Turn to the 105th Psalm, Psalm 105. In this psalm, it was talking about the children of Israel leaving Egypt. And in the 37th verse, it says, he brought Israel forth also with silver and gold. Psalm 105:37. He brought Israel forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. The Ten Commandments, produced by Cecil B. DeMille in the 50s. What a tremendous movie. What a powerful movie. But I must take issue with Mr. DeMille. about one thing that he put in there. And that was when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt. You saw them carrying people on stretchers. You saw people walking like this, old people walking out like that. There was not one feeble member amongst their tribe. Not one amongst their tribes. Not one. That's my confession over our church. Not one feeble person at Eagle Mountain International Church. For the partners of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, not one feeble partner amongst us. If you look up the word feeble in the Hebrew, it is the word pauper. Pauper. There was not one pauper among them. What is a pauper? An extremely poor person. One without means of support. And this is all the Hebrew definition of the word pauper. There was not one poor person who left Egypt. Not one. Not one. It says, without any means of support. Not one that left Egypt. Someone who depends, now this is what it says in the Hebrew. Someone who depends on aid from public welfare, fund, or charity. Not one. Not one. In the Tehillim commentary, this Rabbi Eliezer the Great wrote this. The lowliest among the children of Israel brought 90 asses laden with silver and gold when he left Egypt. I really like the way the Jews think. I like the observations that they have about Scripture. We'd have to really redo that scene in the movie. If they had 90 donkeys laden with silver and gold, each one of them had 90 donkeys when they left. It says, I'll read this to you in Exodus 12, 35 in the Message translation. The Israelites had already done what Moses had told them. They had asked of the Egyptians for silver and gold and clothing. God saw to it that the Egyptians liked the people and so readily gave them what they asked for. Oh yes, they picked those Egyptians clean. Wealth transfer. That was supernatural wealth transfer. In verse 36 of the New Living Translation, it says, they stripped the Egyptians of their wealth. That was transfer. That was a supernatural transfer coming out of that place. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. These are just a few. There are so many scriptures that talk about supernatural transfer, wealth transfer in the Bible. Say, this belongs to me. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 10. We're talking here about wealth transfer. When the children of Israel left Egypt and they went into Canaan land, the Lord told them to possess the land. Joshua really got on them about it because why? He said to them at one point, why are you so slack to possess the land? I believe the Lord's saying that to us right now. Why are we so slack to possess all of the land that belongs to us? As Buddy teaches, the land of wealth, the land of business. Why are we so slack? That word slack means lazy. Why are we so lazy to possess what rightfully belongs to us? And the more you hear about this and the more this is being preached to you, the more it'll grow on the inside of you. You know, back in 1998, we had here what we called 30 Days of Glory. Maybe some of you remember that. 30 Days of Glory. Gloria came to me a few months before that, and we were just moving into this building at the time. And Gloria said to me, she said, George, what would it be like if we had church 30 days in a row, morning service, evening service, and we took off Saturday morning just to wash our clothes and then came back to church? What would that be like? I said, Gloria, I don't know. She said, well, let's try. So we did, September the 1st, 1998, 30 days of glory. Morning and evening services. And I really do believe that it changed the whole complexion of this ministry in this church. The person who came here the most during that time, does anybody remember? Leroy Thompson. Leroy Thompson. And he came with such a message of prosperity, it changed the whole complexion of this ministry. He came in so many times and he preached it and he preached it and he preached it and he preached it. And shortly thereafter, I got a series that he taught called Money Cometh. Money Cometh. Money cometh to me now. Money cometh to me now. Money cometh to me now. That's what the Lord gave him. He pulled the lever. It's a lever, but he called it the lever. He pulled the lever. And so I listened to that series of messages. I don't know how many tapes there were, cassette tapes at that time, but there was a big binder of tapes. And what I was doing was I was getting that concept down on the inside of me. And that's what it takes. You've got to hear this again and again, again, again. You know, one of the things that I did many years ago was that I spent time with Oral Roberts. He was flying through DFW, and this was back at the latter part of his traveling ministry, and he'd fly by himself. Imagine that, Oral Roberts flying by himself. Well, his secretary called me in 1999, in the fall of 99, and she said to me, Brother Roberts is traveling, he's by himself, and he gets to DFW, because he's living out in California, he gets to DFW and he can't connect with his next flight because he gets lost. He's by himself. She said, Pastor, would it be okay if you, and I said, yes, yes. So for 14 times, I met Oral Roberts at the airport, at the gate. I would take him to the Admiral's Club. We would have a private room together. And I spent untold hours with Oral Roberts, asking him questions, talking to him, and keeping a diary. And just one of the things that Oral Roberts said to me, he said, pastors are afraid to teach their congregations messages over and over again. He said, people don't get it till they hear it seven times at least. And I thought about this. So you really need to get this message today and listen to it seven times. Go back and listen to it seven times. I've heard Brother Copeland preaching on the blessing for years, and I'm hearing things that I had not heard before. I'm hearing it over and over and over and over. And what has to happen is you have to hear this until every bit of lack and poverty mentality is flushed out of your being. You get to the place where you can't even think lack. That does not even come to your comprehension. You won't even have that thought. It's like a person that used to go to the bar all the time, and they have been so transformed by the Word of God, they don't even think that anymore. That is not even a thought to them anymore. A person who has quit smoking cigarettes, and they've done it for years in the habit, they finally quit. They don't even think about doing that anymore. We have to do the same thing about lack. We have to do the same thing about poverty. We have to do the same thing about the limited mentality that the devil has tried to put on us, or whatever we grew up with, whatever our background has been, you got to get rid of that. We love our parents, we love our family, but if there's a poverty mentality in there, you got to kick it out of your life, get rid of it, and replace it and renew your mind. Come on, give God praise for that. You literally have to flush it out of your being. And the only way you can do that is by the Word. Only way you can do that is you just got to pump the Word in there. And the more you pump in there, the more that doubt, unbelief, that all that mentality of poverty, it just comes out of you. And all of a sudden you see yourself in a different way. You see yourself as God sees you, as He sees you. Well, we are not paupers. It says here in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 10, and it shall be when the Lord shall have brought you into the land which he swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which you did not build. Say, I take that.
I take that.
We have to broaden our vision, enlarge our capacity to see us with this. Give you great and goodly cities which you do not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and wells dug that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you shall, and then it says, when you shall have eaten and be full, beware that you forget the Lord. That's wealth transfer. supernatural wealth transfer. In 1978, February 1st, there was a word from the Lord that Charles Capps had about financial inversion. Now, I know that's many years ago, but you see, these words from the Lord, we have to contend for them till we see them. A word from the Lord like that, a word from the Lord that Brittany received, you just don't take and go, "Ooh, that was good." No, there's some contending for that word, because the devil would like to steal that right away. He'd just like to pluck that out and have them not experience that at all. But now that the word is out, you have some work to do. There's some work in the word that needs to be done. There's some praying in the spirit over this. There's some leadership of the Holy Spirit that you have to walk this thing out. And so that's what we see here. We have to walk out this word. And even though it's from 1978, we have not pressed into the fullness of it yet. But we are going to. We are going to. Let me read it to you. And that's why I wanted you to have these notes, because the whole word is there. You can just kind of look at me as I'm doing this and just listen to what's being said. The word of the Lord came through Charles Capps, February 1st, 1978. Financial inversion shall increase in these days. And I added the definition of inversion. It means turned upside down or a reversal in position. In other words, you could say it like this: the church has been poor, but the church is not going to be poor anymore. Church will not be poor anymore. I see. I was out driving the other day, and I think I saw a guy driving the worst conditioned car I've ever seen in my life. It was bad. It was old, first of all. It looked like a 1980-something, early 80s car. And you think, oh, you can get a lot of money for that. Not this one. No, it was rusted from front to back. I mean, I thought I was looking at a spirit. Really, the spirit of poverty. It was awful. Stuff was hanging down in the car. Maybe it was a vision that I got, because it was absolutely the worst condition that I've seen. And to see a person that's driving something like that, and all of a sudden there's an inversion. They're down here, and the wealth is here, and all of a sudden the world is up here, and then there's an inversion that takes place, and all of a sudden he's the one. He's the one that's driving the best, living the best, prospering and giving into the kingdom. There's a financial inversion taking place. Do you receive it?
Yes.
I said, do you receive it?
Yes.
The Lord said, for you see, it is my desire to move in the realm of your financial prosperity. And I wrote out to the side here in my notes, Psalm 35:27, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. He said, it's my desire to move in the realm of your financial prosperity. But he said, release me. Release me that I may come on your behalf and move in your behalf. So there's a release that has to take place. We've got to release him to do this. And the thing that stops us from releasing that is the mere unbelief of, I can't receive that. That's not mine. I'll give you a quick testimony about this. Some years ago, when Mylon Lefevre moved to Fort Worth, got a house over in Southlake in a beautiful neighborhood, gorgeous neighborhood. And he invited a group of us over there to... they had a Christmas party over there. And so we drove into the neighborhood, and Terry and I, it's a gated community with a security officer there. Not just a building with no security officer in it, but with a gate and with an officer. I mean, it was, you had to like sign your life away to get in. No, but you had to stop and check in, and yes, you're here for the Lefevres, go right ahead. So we're driving through, and I'm looking around, we're driving through the neighborhood, and I'm going, golly, Gomer, wow, look, my mouth must have been, oh, wow. There was one house in the neighborhood, and they were the only house that had snow on it. Found out later they were having a party, so they had somebody come in and put snow on their front yard. There was a snowman. What a beautiful neighborhood. So we're going in, we had the party and so forth, and then it was cold outside, so I told Terry, we had to park like kind of way down the street. They were in a cul-de-sac. And I walked out the door to get the car, and I just stood there, and I looked up the street. And I said, Lord, I really like this neighborhood. And I actually said this. I said, but it's too rich for my blood. And the Lord basically said, I'll show you, Sonny. I did not know at that moment, as I was looking up at the street, and I saw a house, that within a year, I'd be living in that house. The Lord moved us into that neighborhood. And it changed our mentality. The house itself changed our mentality. What a gorgeous house. What a beautiful house. And it lifted our vision. And the Lord, He was not really happy with me for what I said. So He said, I got to get this kid straightened out. I'm going to bring him in here. And then all of a sudden I found myself, we were driving through that neighborhood every day, living in that neighborhood. Now the reason that we moved back here was because at that time, the traffic, this was back in the 90s, the traffic was getting worse and worse and worse, didn't have the expressways. And we were bringing Aubrey to school and Jeremy over here at Lake Country. So we were spending a lot of time on the road until such a degree, we said, we've got to get back there. We've got to get back closer to the church again. But when we pulled away, we waved goodbye at that house and said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we live in a beautiful home today, a beautiful home. But the Lord wants to lift your vision. He wants to lift you up out of Lodabar, if you will. Lodabar, where Mephibosheth was. And David went down there and he got him out. That's what pastors are supposed to do with their congregations. We're supposed to go down to Lodabar and get you out of what kind of mentality you're in and rescue you and bring you up and set you down at the king's table. For yes, there shall be in this hour financial distress here and there. The economy shall go up and down. But those that learn to walk in the Word, they shall see the prosperity of the Word come forth in this hour in a way that has not been seen by men in days past. We're supposed to be pressing into a higher level of God's prosperity and His goodness. And it's not so that we can hoard it and sit around and watch television and eat bonbons all day. It's for us to get the kingdom work done. Shut up, Satan. Get behind me. That's what I say at least to the critics about Kenneth and Gloria. For sure, to talk to any, I'm just saying this. I guess I am just saying this. But for any of the critics, if they only knew the millions of dollars that goes out of this place to minister to others, I'd like to say to them, I love you. Yes, there is coming a financial inversion in the world system. It has been held in reservoirs of wicked men for days on end. But the end is near. Those reservoirs shall be tapped and shall be drained into the gospel of Jesus Christ. It shall be done, saith the Lord. I looked up the definition of the word reservoir. It's where anything is collected in great amounts. That's what a reservoir is. A large or extra supply or stock, a reserve, a stockpile, surplus. That's what a reservoir is. Can you picture a reservoir, a water reservoir? And picture the fact that the Lord is saying those reservoirs are going to be tapped and drained into the gospel. We receive it. We receive it. It shall be done in the time allotted, and so shall it be that the word of the Lord shall come to pass, that the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Predominantly in two ways shall it be done in this hour. Two ways. Two ways of the wealth transfer. And I believe after Buddy was talking to us, that could be a third way that the Lord's talking about this. But listen to what the word of the Lord says. Number one, those that have hoarded up and stored up because of the inspiration of the evil one and held the money from the gospel shall be converted and drawn into the kingdom. There will be people who'll be drawn into the kingdom of God. They'll hear the message. Just like the woman with the issue of blood, she heard of Jesus. Well, they'll hear the message. They may be rich, but rich does not guarantee peace, joy, happiness in the Holy Spirit. Does not guarantee it. You can read the stories of people who are rich and horribly, horribly destitute. Well, these people will be converted and they'll be drawn into the kingdom of God. And the first person that came to mind was Zacchaeus. Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house, a sinner. They complained about Jesus going to see this sinner. And he went to see Zacchaeus. And I had this picture. I was thinking about it yesterday. Had this picture. You know, number 10 Downing Street where the prime minister lives. And there have been people that have gone in to visit the prime minister. And they'll go to the front door, turn around, get their picture taken, go in. And then they'll come out maybe with the prime minister, have their picture taken at the door. I'm not saying Jesus did this, but it was kind of like that because all of the press was there. You know, they came from the press behind. So there was press there during Jesus' time. And I can just see Jesus going to the door. And all the press is there. They're all taking pictures, got cameras there. He's going in to see Zacchaeus. Rich man, tax collector, noted mob, member of the mafia. Jesus is going in there. So Jesus goes in there and you can just picture them shutting the door. Jesus goes in and he's talking to Zacchaeus. They had a long conversation. We know that Zacchaeus chose the kingdom of God though. A man, Jesus went and he talked to this rich man. But one of the things that he did not say to this rich man was, rich, being rich is evil. Your wealth is going to send you to hell. No, he didn't say that to him. No, he helped turn his life around. And the result of that was just what this word of the Lord said. They'll be converted and drawn into the kingdom. It says in Luke 19:8, meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I've cheated people on their taxes, I'll give them back four times as much. Wealth transfer. And this man was converted. He was converted. I'll bet if I studied long enough, I could tell you exactly what Jesus said to him, the kind of conversation they had. But then the second one, but many, many will not. They'll not heed the voice of the word of God. They will turn aside to this and turn to that, and they'll walk in their own ways. But their ways will not work in this hour. It will dwindle and slip away as though it were bags with holes in them. It'll go here and it'll go there, and they'll wonder why it's not working now. It worked in days past, they will say. And the Lord gave me Psalm 39:6 that says, he heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And I wrote in my notes, pick me. But it shall be, saith the Lord, that the word of the Lord shall rise within people. Now this is talking about us right here. The word of the Lord shall rise within people. People of God of low esteem in the financial world that shall claim the word of God to be their very own and walk in the light of it as it has been set forth in the word, and they will give. And they'll begin to give small at first because that's all they have. But it will increase. Our giving's going to increase. Our giving's going to increase. Pastor Terry and I, we gave more last year than we've ever given. And we're pressing in to give more this year than we've ever given before. It'll begin small, but then that's all they have. But it will increase, and through the hundredfold return, now look at this on the screen, so shall it be that the reservoirs that have been held, that have held the riches in days past, so shall it return to the hands of the giver. How many givers in here? If you're a giver, you qualify for supernatural wealth transfer. The giver. Because of the hundredfold return shall the reservoirs be lost from the wicked and turned to the gospel. Give God praise for that. I'll give you another word from the Lord. Now this one, that was 1998. This one is 2012. This one's a little bit stronger. And this was at the Branson Victory Campaign. Brother Copeland gave this word. The largest, most significant transfer of property, goods, wealth, and people from the hands of the devil is coming into the hands of God's people who are prepared to receive it. The biggest transfer of property in the history of mankind has just begun, and it has moved over into its final stage. Well, it's saying here, those who are prepared to receive it. How do you prepare to receive it? One of the ways you do that is what you're doing right now. You're sitting here listening to these words and preparing for the wealth transfer. Are you prepared for it? Yes. Some of us, we say that by faith, but we're preparing ourselves. We're getting ourselves ready. A good exercise in getting yourself ready. And this is an exercise that I've done around here. I have a master list of everything that needs to be done on this property. Everything. I don't know if you've seen the fence out front. It's starting to rust. The fence needs to be painted. But I've got a list going of everything that needs to be done. I am preparing for supernatural wealth transfer. I'm getting ready for it. I'm getting ready for it. I mean, it may, and I like being around Spencer Nordyke. Spencer Nordyke just so thinks out of the box. It's wonderful. Spencer's going to be receiving offering tomorrow morning in church. Oh man, what Spencer's going to say. And he just challenges me in my thinking to live the fillionaire life. So that being filled in all things. And I was thinking about what would happen, Michael Evans, what would happen one day if we're driving into work and all of a sudden there are people lined the fence and they're painting it. The Lord spoke to a guy's company and said, get out there and paint Kenneth Copeland's fence. And they spent all night. They had trucks out there with big lights, you know, like they see on the highways, the highway work, big lights out there. And they came first thing. After we left the property, they were there all night long, and they sanded it down, and then they primed it, and then they painted it, and then they were finishing it up by the time we were coming to work at 8 o'clock in the morning. Now that's a supernatural wealth transfer. You're all looking at me like, that'll never happen. I expect it. You have to have expectation. Expectation of these things. You should really, when I say something like that, when I say that people will show up, and I'm talking about good people, good company will show up and they'll paint that thing overnight. I need to hear some people say, now some of you got it, some of you shouted, but what we say around here is that happens to me all the time. That happens to me. Supernatural wealth transfer happens to me all the time. It happens to me all the time. So the biggest transfer of property. Transfer of property. Excuse me while I meditate on that one. Transfer of property. The biggest transfer of property in the history of mankind has just begun, and it's moved over into its final stage. Whew, how many of you have been believing for property? Oh man. But then when he talks about here being prepared to receive it, I notice that the latter part of this word really goes into that. Those who will listen to me and follow me and trust me, those who I have taught my word and have given the authority to walk in these things, it's the most outstanding things that human eyes have ever seen. And the time is now. The time has come. Your hour has come. So rise and do those things by faith that you know to do, and all that belongs to heaven will come into your hands for your joy. Say, I receive that. See, that's why I want you to go back and listen to this again and get these notes and go right along with it, because you've got to hear it at least 7 times. To really get this thing working down on the inside. I'm just like introducing it. You need to take it from here. I'll read this to you as we begin to finish up. This is from an article. And I've done so much study from Pastor Bill Winston. Oh, he just enlarges something on the inside. He just... He just, who said that? My wallet. Take out the 100. There's 100 back there. Right towards the end. There it is, right there. Where are you? Where are you?
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Somebody online said, I said it first. Sorry. So I get so much from Bill Winston. He just starts talking and it just gets bigger. Capacity gets bigger. It just enlarges on the inside to see things I've not seen before, to hear things I've not heard before, to walk out on things that I have not walked out on before. And I was reading this article that he wrote on supernatural wealth transfer, and I'll read a couple of things from it, then we'll finish up. God is restoring the earth back into the hands of its rightful owners. Say, that's me. As well as restoring the power of the blessing, in capital letters, to govern it. To govern it. Because of Adam's sin, the earth was not in the hands of God's family. Now, God is working his redemptive plan to get it all back through a supernatural transfer of wealth. One of the major things coming in this hour is an explosion of wealth in the body of Christ. Come on now. An explosion. An explosion. Say, I receive an explosion. See, it really does all depend on where you're going to church and where you're feeding, what you're feeding off of. And if you're feeding off of the naysayers about all of this, you ain't going to get it. It's not going to come. It's not going to happen. But the Lord is really, he's trying to get this over to us so that we can be in control of this thing. It's got to be to a place where people in our government are coming to us for advice. And really, we do have a president that's been doing that. Kenneth and Gloria are on the advisory board. Buddy Pilgrim is on the advisory, or it's not the advisory board anymore. It's the council, advisory council to President Trump. He listens. He listens. But I'm talking about people, even people in the House and the Senate. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something if I announced to a congregation, hey, we've got 5 senators coming from the Senate, and they're wanting to sit down with us and talk to us about how they handle the deficit and what they need to be doing. They should be coming to us. They should be coming to you in whatever line of work you are, because you operate on the blessing. You operate on a higher level of wisdom. You've got a higher source of wisdom that comes to you. Well, he says, one of the major things coming in this hour is the explosion of wealth in the body of Christ. Through divine favor, witty inventions, and the grace of giving, we are at the season of the greatest wealth transfer in the history of this planet. Now, there's a confirmation of the word Brother Copeland gave. There will be inventions that will make the iPhone seem like child's play. Nah, you didn't get it. You didn't hear this. I've heard preachers say that before. I'll tell it to you again. There will be inventions. Come on, somebody talk to me. There will be inventions. No, really, talk to me. Talk to me. There will be inventions. Is that you? Is that you? Are you one of those that's going to do that? Are you going to have inventions? Witty inventions that will come to you? That will make a lot of money for the kingdom of God? Is that you? There will be inventions that'll make the iPhone. The iPhone look like child's play. Come on! We are even going to see money supernaturally transfer into the bank account of the people of God. Now, buddy, I'm not saying that it's coming from the wealth of the wicked. And the wealth of the wicked, that's just God's purpose. That's his will. That's his desire. I've had people in church here before. Pastor, money showed up in my account. I don't know how it got there. I called the bank. They don't know either. They just said, take it. Why the transfer of wealth? Now, this is the bottom line of it right here. Musicians, come on up. Why the transfer of wealth? Mainly for the advancing of the King and bringing in the end time harvest of souls. That's what it's for. God needs the wealth in our hands to fulfill the call that is on our lives for this generation to reclaim what Jesus redeemed. I'll give you this quick testimony and then we'll dismiss. I was at a meeting at Bishop Keith Butler's. And one night there was a pastor that he asked to come give a testimony. And in this testimony, this pastor was talking about with his church, there was a piece of property next door to his church. Pretty good sized piece of property. Beautiful piece of property. And they really needed that property for the expansion of the church. The worth of the property was about $1.2 million. And so he went to the owner and he asked him, he said, how much will you take for the property? He said, well, it's worth about $1.2 million. He said, because you're a church, we can do it for $600,000. So this pastor began to sow towards that. He began to sow seed. And he went through 6 months, keep sowing seed. He did not give up. He did not quit. He just kept sowing seed and sowing seed. David, go ahead. And a year went by and he just kept sowing. That is the operation of the kingdom of God, sowing and reaping. So he just kept sowing and kept believing God. Lord, we need that property. The Lord has need of that property. And so he was believing God with all of his heart. Kept sowing, kept believing. A year, 2 years, about 3 years went by. He's in his study and there's a knock on his door and it's the owner. And the owner sat down with him and he said, and he was not a believer. He was really a guy of the world. He sat down with the pastor and says, he said, I don't know why I'm doing this. He said, but I'm getting old. I'm tired of having to keep up with this. He said, what if I just give you the property? It so marked me. I sat there and I just feel it right now. Right now, it was a giver. It was one who pleased the Lord and who desired for his purposes. And the purpose of that property was for the furtherance of the kingdom of God on the earth. And did I tell you there was a hotel on the property? Beautiful hotel on the property. What a pastor can do with a hotel.
Hallelujah.
Let's all stand together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.